Good morning. It's great to be with you again today and share God's amazing and powerful word with you. You know, the word's powerful if you believe it. Otherwise, it's just words on a page in a book or your memory or whatever. But if you believe it, it's powerful. And I would just like to read a couple of verses of scripture here as we talk for a moment about the Crown of Blessing Fund. You know, Pastor Mark Maloney and Pastor Yao and ourselves have been giving to people in need in various parts of the world. And I just want to encourage you that you can make a difference even now in this time of lockdown to people who are struggling. And in Psalm 41, we find some promises. It says, blessed is he who has regard for the weak. Some of the people that we are giving to are physically weak as well as spiritually weak because they've not had food for days, and their children as well. Some of this week prisoners, both male and female prisoners in the prisons who have been struggling for food and other basic things have received from God's people. And God wants you and I to understand, blessed is he who has regard for the weak, for the Lord delivers him in times of trouble. If this isn't a real time of trouble, capital T, for you, you can count on God's deliverance if you look after those that are in their trouble. Verse 2 says, the Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desire of his foes. Verse 3 goes on to say, the Lord will sustain him on his sick bed and restore him from his bed of illness. These are great promises to people who just, excuse me, take an interest in those that are weak and struggling and suffering. So if you want to put some money in the bank, so to speak, for a what people call a rainy day, you want God to smile on you and intervene in your trouble, then you be his instrument in someone else's trouble. So let me encourage you in that today. And God bless you all for those of you who have given. And I am just saying this, that if God speaks to you, you give. Don't give just because I said it, but you give if God speaks to you. And then you're doing it in faith, and faith always produces a reward. So as we begin this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today for the word of the Lord that travels beyond our understanding, Lord, to so many places. Your message is going around the world in the West Indies and France and America and Africa and India and so many countries, Lord. Your word is being preached and declared by so many of your servants. And thank you today that this message today will penetrate all of our lives and cause us to be that shining light in this dark world. Thank you, Lord, that lockdown doesn't have to be a cave of misery, but it can become a cave of revelation, of insight, and preparation. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing our subject today, From Faith to Faith in the Last Days, the subtitle being The Harvest of Miracles. And this is our 15th message, and you may say, well, Pastor, why are you going so long on this subject? Well, if the Bible says the just shall live by faith, so you're not really living if you're not living by faith. You're biologically alive, but if you're not living by faith, then you're not living as God intends. Because he says the just, the righteous, those who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who've received Christ as their Savior, they will live. That's their lifestyle, to live by faith. And so God made you, as we've already examined, to be a person of faith. You are a faith person. You are a faith capacity person. You have that ability because of what God has done in your life to exercise faith and receive the grace and favor of God and release that grace and favor to others. And so if that's who God has made you and I to be, we want to learn how to operate the life of faith. You know, sometimes you can buy something new, an alarm clock or some flat pack furniture, and if you've been like me, you think, well, I don't need the instructions. I can do this, that, that. And you start off, and pretty soon you're stuck, and you have to go get instructions to know exactly how to make it work. Otherwise, it isn't going to function. Well, that's the nature of the Christian life. If you don't know how to operate the life of faith, you will operate another life of faith, which is a faith in you, in the world system, the devil, whatever, but it won't be what God intends. And you'll mess up, and you'll be disappointed, and you'll suffer needless loss. And so it's important for us to understand. We think it's important for us to understand basic things, and so we send a child to school for 10, 12, 14, 15 years to prepare him for a vocation, but this is a preparation for your entire life that isn't just your working hours. It's everything in your life is governed by faith. And so if you don't know how to operate the faith life, you won't do well. Just like if you get in the car and you drive down the road, you don't know anything about how to drive it, but you've got the engine running and you're moving at speed, you can do damage to yourself and to others because you don't know how to operate that vehicle. Well, this vehicle is a faith vehicle, and God wants you and I to understand how to do it and then to get good practice in doing it so that our faith grows, 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 and grows. And as our faith grows, the rewards come and the glory of God is released. And people who don't know what God looks like look at what he's done in our life and he say, yeah, I want to meet that guy. I want to meet Jesus. And so let us go back to where we were last week as we were talking to you about certain conditions connected to the law of faith. And I'd like to read Mark 11, 23 and 24, if I could this morning. Mark 11, 23 and 24 says, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Now that is a staggering verse. It goes on to say, Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. These two verses are some of the most compact instructions on how to operate the life of faith. And if you don't grasp these, or you distance yourself from them, or you say, wait a minute, that's not logical. You can't speak to a mountain and move it. Then you're in argument with the one who wrote the book. Not me, the one who wrote the book. So I want to encourage you to take these verses, meditate in them, and we'll dig into them a little bit more. But Romans chapter 10 tells us of one of the conditions of the law of faith. It says in verse 14 of Romans chapter 10, it says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? Faith comes by hearing. And how can they hear without someone preaching? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. That's you, the Bible saying. Verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes by hearing the message. Hearing the message, and the message comes through the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing. And so last week we were talking about how important it is to hear and how your faith life as a faith person is predicated on hearing. And as I said to you, the errors and the mistakes and the disappointments that I've made in my life have been either through neglect or ignorance, but whatever the case, they were choices I made to neglect this very basic fundamental principle of faith in some area of my life, some season or situation, and as a result, I suffered needless loss. And so that's why we're emphasizing to you this morning and these past 14 weeks this message of living by faith. Faith comes by hearing. It's so important to hear, because whatever you hear in a biblical sense, you will believe, you will trust, you will lean upon, and you will act upon. And so many people only put their ear to the television or the internet or what the world has to say, and so that they don't hear the right things, but they believe what they hear, because you will believe what you hear. In one form or another, you will believe it, and you will either be blessed or you'll suffer loss. So faith, the kind of faith that pleases God, comes by hearing His voice alone. His voice alone. And you know, it's so important for us to understand this, because sometimes we think that the world offers us something that's logical, sensible, scientific, and I'm not against science. And you may have that impression that I'm against science. I'm not against science, and I'll explain that. But let me tell you a simple little story that kind of puts this in perspective. When my wife was pregnant with our third child, long before it was supposed to occur, her waters broke, and so we took her to the hospital. She wasn't in labor. The doctors examined her, then more doctors examined her, then they called me into a room, and they said, the doctors and myself, my wife wasn't in the room, and they said to me, Mr. Johnston, we have some sad news for you. Your wife's waters have broken, and so now the baby is not being protected in the womb, and infection could come inside of her and kill the baby and her. So the precautionary step that we must take is an abortion. What is your response? And I said, well, let me think. And I walked out of the room, but in my heart I said, no. This is not my portion. I got in my car. I wanted to go and pray. And I drove quickly to the church building where I was a member of staff. And as I pulled into the driveway, I saw a very dear spiritual father and waved at him. And he came over to greet me. And I rolled down the window. I hadn't even gotten out of the car. And I told him what the doctors had just told me. And he said something to me, but it wasn't him speaking. What do you mean it wasn't him speaking? Well, it was him speaking, but it was really the Holy Spirit speaking through him. And he quoted me a passage in 2 Timothy 1 where the scripture says that she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and holiness with sobriety. What I heard was the voice of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing. As soon as I heard that word, I said, thank you so much. I turned the engine on, drove back to the hospital, went in the hospital, went and took my wife's hand, and I said, sweetheart, I said, you'll be fine and the baby will be fine. I've heard from heaven. That's it. That settles it. I heard the word that prompted faith. And when you hear the word that prompts faith and you embrace it, then the miracle is on its way to you. And so what happened? Well, a few hours later, the doctors came and they said, Mr. Johnston, we need to tell you of a development that we do not understand, and that is that your wife now is continuing to manufacture the water that is washing over the child. It's flowing out of her, but that's not any sort of problem. But actually, that is actually protecting the baby and her. Take her home and bring her back when the labor starts and she'll have the baby. I took her home and we managed to do everything that had to be done while she was there, and then eventually took her back to the hospital and our third child was born. I want to say to you, faith comes by hearing. So I'm not against science. Science is man's understanding of man's world and how it should be ordered. But There's a song we sing, and I'm sure you've heard it. In fact, I'd encourage you today to get this song off the YouTube somewhere or off the internet and sing it. And that song is, "Who Has the Final Say?" Let me put these two things together for you in the Scripture. In Romans chapter 4, the Bible tells us that Abraham regarded the fact that his body was as good as dead, but he believed the promise of God. The world can give you the facts, but they don't have the final say. There is something that trumps the facts, and that is the word of the Lord. And so when you hear the facts and the facts aren't good and they don't lift you, they don't bless you, but they depress you and discourage you or want to take you that direction, you want to get the word of the Lord because that will make the difference. It'll not only change your internal perspective and your emotions, but it will release the reward of your faith, the miracle that you require. So I'm not against the facts. You see, God is faithful. Early this morning, about 3 o'clock, I was thinking about you. And it just dropped in my heart, why am I speaking to you today on this subject? Why are you hearing this message? Why 15 messages or more on this subject? Let me see if I can give you some perspective. Because God is faithful. I want to tell you that you would not be hearing this message if the things I'm about to tell you didn't turn out the way they did turn out. When I was a young boy with my siblings, my parents had gone out for some reason and had left me in the care of my older siblings. I had scarlet fever and the measles. I had a raging fever, but when they weren't watching, I went to the medicine cabinet on a hot summer day, and I thought, okay, I've seen my grandma. When she had a headache, she would take 2 aspirin, but I reasoned in my mind as a young boy, a small boy, I know I must be a lot sicker than grandma, so I'm going to take more. So I took an overdose of aspirin. I took 10 aspirin. While I had the scarlet fever, and I went outside and lay down in the front garden in the blazing sun. When my parents came home, they found their son unconscious. They rushed me to the hospital, and by the grace of God, by the faith-filled prayers of my parents, I survived. I was in Uganda some years ago during the war. Time after time, our vehicle was stopped and surrounded by soldiers who were pointing their rifles at us, ready to kill us if for the slightest provocation. We only got through one sort of nerve-wracking experience, but to encounter them again, a different group of soldiers down the road with the same intent. They were looking for something of value. They were looking for some excitement. They were looking for something. But God protected us. If God hadn't protected us, you would not be hearing this message. I was in Pakistan, surrounded by the Al-Qaeda right after 9/11. They had heard that there were 2 Americans coming to the country, and they placed a $2 million bounty on our heads. We traveled around preaching. When we got out of house arrest with a commando who had a submachine gun in his hands, his belt was strapped with hand grenades. He challenged anyone who got close to us. We had soldiers on the roof, in the bed next to us, in the hallway, in the front of the building, everywhere we went, vehicles behind, vehicles in front, because there was the clear intent to kill us. They didn't succeed. I was driving down a very busy road. Actually, it was a hill in a busy city. The truck was loaded, was a big lorry loaded with rubbish, and so it was very heavy, only to discover that the brakes had gone out. There wasn't any human way possible for me to stop that huge lorry from crashing into the cars that I could see gathering in front of me. None. But we called on the name of Jesus. No one was hurt. Each one of these stories, I could tell you the whole story, but I've got a reason for telling these things to you. I was diagnosed with a brain aneurysm, and the doctor says, "You're going to the hospital now." I said, "No, I'll preach the message." "No, you're going to the hospital now, or you're going to be dead." I went to a local hospital here. They did all these tests. They got a bunch more doctors in. They had discussions. Finally, they decided that after they had done a lumbar puncture and, you know, they poked and prodded and x-rayed and did everything they could, they finally decided that whatever was no longer. On another occasion, I was taken in for emergency surgery for unknown causes. The doctor came to me and he said, "I know that you're in agonizing pain, and we have not been able to determine the reason for it. But what we want to do today is we want to do exploratory surgery on you." They did exploratory surgery on me, and after I recovered, I went back to the doctor and he said, "You should not be here. There isn't any way you should not be here. There was so much gangrene substance in your abdominal cavity, I couldn't get it all out. So I sewed you up, knowing that you would not live." That's not what God had in mind. I was on a commercial jet when an explosion took place and it blew a hole in the back of the plane. The plane started to go down to the water from 30,000 feet. We survived. I was on another jet. The tires caught on fire just as we were landing. It was a very treacherous circumstance. On another occasion, I was driving a car with Marilee next to a volcano that blew up. On another occasion, I was traveling on a twin-engine jet and sitting by the window, looked out the window. And as I looked out the window, I could see the propeller on the engine on the right-hand side. And I thought to myself, that propeller is not turning. It should be turning. And I stared at it again, and certainly it was not turning. I couldn't see the engine propeller on the left side. But a few moments later, the pilot's voice came and he said, "One engine has failed. We are now returning to where we came from." No one said a word on the journey back. I was trapped on one occasion in a collapsing building as it was being demolished. There was no human way I would survive this collapsing building. I had surgery for cancer that was successful. Why am I telling you these things? I'm telling you these things because this is an appointment for your life. God has preserved my life so that you could hear a message about the hearing of faith, about being a faith person and operating a faith lifestyle. Had any of those taken out my life, I would not be here today to share these messages with you. And so this is something you should recognize today. This isn't just another message that you're watching or listening to, but this is a divine appointment with your life today. And God is saying something to you. He's giving you many messages about whatever trouble you face. He's giving you messages today about there is a hope and there's an answer for everything that you face both now and in the future. I'd like to say to you that everything is going to be fine as far as this world system is concerned. But as I see and listen and hear, I believe we're headed for more challenges. More challenges, some the same, some different. That means if you are a believing believer, you need to capture the message of faith and the hearing of faith so that when all the voices of this world are swirling around and vying for your attention, you say, I'm going to find a place and I'm going to seek out the voice of the Lord and I'm going to triumph over everything that comes my way. That is the promise of God's Word. Psalm 112 will be your lifestyle. And so I want to say to you today, I am alive today, and I only shared some of those instances that could have ended my journey. But my journey didn't end. Not because I'm anybody special. If you cut my hand, blood will come out of me just like it will out of you. But I want to say to you today that God has a message about how to live the life of faith. You may have something that is reasonably good right now, but let me tell you, as long as you live in this world, there will come a day in which there will be something bigger than what you currently face. There'll be some trouble that will challenge your humanity, and you'll say, that's not who I am. God made me a person of faith. He made me to be a victorious overcomer. Yesterday's gone. All the negative, disappointing, hurtful, non-understandable things that have happened to me or other people don't matter. What matters right now is the grace that I have for this moment. I can't afford to worry about the future or live in regret about the past. I have to hear the word of the Lord and I have to walk in faith, because if I walk in faith, there isn't anything that can harm me. That's why Luke 10:17 says, I've given you power over all the works of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you. Is that what you believe deep down inside you? Do you hear God's voice as you hear the message today? You see, if there's anything that the devil doesn't want you to hear, it is God's voice. It is God's voice. It starts in the book of Genesis, because everything started with God's voice. Creation started with God's voice. And God made man and woman. He put them in the garden. And the enemy came in the garden. And what did he do? He attacked the voice of God. And he said to Eve, did God say? He wanted to create doubt because he wanted her to respond both internally, mentally, emotionally, and behaviorally with what he was saying and live differently. And he succeeded. He succeeded. So mankind was lost for hearing in that moment. Man's ears were inclined then instinctively to hear the wrong voice. The wrong voice. When you come to know Christ as your Savior, it's because you hear the voice of the Lord. June 6, 1963, I'm in my own bedroom by myself and God. I knew what Christianity was about. I had been raised and taught in Sunday school and church and our family life about the work of Christ on the cross and how that we're all born in sin. And doesn't matter how many churches you go to, how many Bibles you own, if you don't make a relationship with Christ based on faith in the work of the cross and ask Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you and to wash you, then you will be perhaps a religious person, perhaps a good moral person, but you'll not be a believing believer. And when you pass from this life, you won't pass into eternity living with Christ forever in heaven with his family, but you will pass into hell. I understood that. I knew it. But I was almost 13, June 6, 1963. And in that moment, when I heard the voice of the Lord, you just say, Pastor, did you hear an audible voice? No, I heard it in my heart, my mind. I got out of my bed. I got down on my knees. There was nobody else there. If you had been in the room, you could have observed there wasn't anybody else but myself. And I spoke to an invisible God who heard me. I told him I was a sinner. I believed I was a sinner. I believed that Jesus had died on the cross for me. I asked him on that day to come into my heart, into my life, to save me. And he did. And in that day, because I chose, I made a decision to believe the word I had received, a miracle took place and Christ came to live inside of me, just as he has in many of you. If you have never done business, if you've never made that transaction of faith, believing in your heart, as the Bible says, and confessing with your mouth, if you've never done that, you may be a religious person, you may even go to church, but you're not born again yet. You haven't really started your faith life. You're just doing your best and hoping for the best. But that's not what God intended for you. And so I want to encourage you today, if you don't know Christ, take time. Sometime today. Don't put it off. Receive Christ as your Savior. If you know Christ as your Savior already, say, all right, I'm going to learn how to live the life of faith. I'm going to learn how to operate this faith life. I'm going to learn the lessons of faith. So as the Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians, your faith grows more and more. And when your faith grows more and more, there are more greater rewards. Every one of us is on a faith journey, a journey that requires faith. Requires the sustaining of your faith and the growing of your faith. You may sometimes need 10 pounds and exercise faith and God supplies your need. But there's be a time when you need more than 10 pounds. Maybe you'll need 100. Maybe you'll need 1,000. Whatever it is, God wants your faith to be ready. As the Bible says, you can have no faith, little faith, or great faith. Our faith must be grown. And it grows, first of all, by hearing God's word. It's this hearing thing that is so important. And, you know, it's so easy to get our ears plugged with things from the internet or whatever source because we make choices about what we hear. Let me tell you, there are more prophets on television ever than in human history. Some of them are secular prophets. Some of them are non-secular prophets. You will make a decision about what voices you're going to hear. But it is so important that you hear the word of the Lord. 92 times in the Bible, in the Old Testament, 92 times the Bible comes and the most critical moments of God's people's history when they are facing their most difficult trials. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came, and the word of the Lord came, and the word of the Lord came, and the word of the Lord came. When my wife's life was threatened and the unborn child was threatened, I want to tell you, when I drove into that car park, the word of the Lord came. And the story is different than what it might have been. The word of the Lord came. You want to covet the word of the Lord. You want to do whatever is necessary to hear the word of the Lord. You know, the Bible speaks of one of the darkest periods of Israel's history. And you know how it describes it? It says the word of the Lord was rare in those days. It was rare. You're in a spiritual desert if you're not hearing the word of the Lord. So I want to pray for you right now before I go any further today as we look at these fundamental principles and we learn the truth about the life of faith. I want to pray for you spiritually, that today your hearing will be enlarged and you will be able to amplify the voice of the Lord as you de-amplify the other voices. Father, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we are so aware that there are those who are listening today who are discouraged, some despairing, some in trouble, some in a crisis moment. If there is anything that they need today, it is to hear the voice of the Lord. They need the word of the Lord to come to them in this moment, in this season and circumstance. And I pray right now that their ears will be freshly healed, opened. They will not be dull of hearing, but they will be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. They will hear your voice. Your thoughts will come into their thoughts. They'll know that they are your thoughts because they are not like their own thoughts. Thank you for the quickening of the written word by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the prophecies that have gone forth. Thank you for the words that they have heard in a former day that even now are being resurrected in their heart and their mind. Lord, you spoke to me years ago. You said this, you said that, you said the other. My journey isn't over. I believe you, Lord. I'm back on track. I'm back on the journey of faith, the life of faith. Thank you, Lord, today for healing. For healing of the ears, healing of the hearing capacity of everyone who hears this message. Thank you, Lord, that we will be a people of faith because we covet hearing your voice. We discern when the voices we're hearing are not producing righteousness, peace, and joy, but they are producing gloom and despair and decline. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your voice. Thank you for your voice. Your voice brought me salvation and millions of others around the globe. And it is that salvation that your people are looking to you for in this season of the global circumstance and personal circumstance and family circumstance and business circumstance and career circumstance. Your voice, your voice, your voice. Thank you. We hear your voice and we say yes. We agree. We respond. We embrace. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm gonna stop here in the message today. We want to continue on in this series as we look on the next principle next week on asking in faith. What does it mean to ask in faith? There's a hearing of faith and there's an asking in faith. You know, some people beg, some people plead, some people go here and go there. But God says, he that comes to God must believe that he is and believe that he is a rewarder. It's not an if, so, a maybe, a might, a could, Tuesdays or Thursdays, if he's in. None of those things. It is sure and certain. God wants you to live with that sense of certainty that when you pray, when you ask, you will have what you asked. May the Lord bless you this week. I have given some songs at the end of the message that are available on the website. One of them I referred to in the message, who has the final say? The doctors who did their best, they had their say, but let me tell you, I thank God they don't have the final say. They don't have the final say. Find the message. Find that song by Bernice Ansa, I believe. At least she's one of the people who sing it. And listen to that. And if you know it, sing it. Sing it. Sing it today. Encourage your own soul. Who has the final say? And sing it to whatever stuff is in your face. whether it's your health or your finance or your children or your spouse or whatever it is, your business, say, wait a minute, who has the final say? God has something to say, and His word is the final say. There's another song, When Jesus Says Yes. When Jesus says yes. Dig that out. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. Let me encourage you to find that song. There's another old chorus by Evelyn Yao, that's Y-E-O, on YouTube called To Know Him, To Know Him, To Hear What He's Saying. You can dig that out. You can also encourage yourself by another song. Some of you would recognize Baba Yetu. A great rendition of that is by the Stellenbosch University Choir. But let me encourage you this week to ask yourself, what have I heard? What do I need to hear? Where am I going to hear the word of the Lord? What has God spoken to me? How have I responded? I got to get on track, believing the word of the Lord, living the life of faith, seeing the reward of my faith produce the miraculous. God bless you, heal you, help you, comfort you, and strengthen you as you hear His voice this week. God bless you.